and just such a perfect place. But that God made a way for us to be citizens of that same kingdom. We're a family here. Look at verse 19. We are the family of God. We need to start acting like the family of God. We need to recognize that God is doing everything he's doing to bring us all together as one and to reveal his great love. We're being built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom all the building being fitted together grows into the holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Wow, we need to read Ephesians out loud a couple of times, don't we? So this authority and this ruling and reigning with Christ and being seated in heavenly places, it's not about, oh, we're just going to come and beat everybody up, or we're going to come and make everybody Christians, or we're going to dominate the earth and all this kind of thing. No, it's about God wants to reveal how much he loves us. God wants to reveal how important we are to him, how he died for us, and how his son is seated now at his right hand in heaven, the Bible says, and we're there with him in the Spirit. He wants us to realize you are in the same kingdom. You have the same citizenship. You know, if we had to have driving license there, you know, we'd have one that said, you know, Kingdom of God, position, Bride of Christ. I'm Mrs. Bride of Christ. You know, Bride of Christ. Oh, what a Bride of Christ. Yeah, it's a lot of us. It's a lot of us in this kingdom. And it's his family. And we're part of that family. And it's awesome. And we're all being built together. We're all being changed. God's doing a work in us. God's sanctifying us. God's doing all these things that he could dwell in us. The main reason that I want to live a sanctified, holy life that the Holy Spirit makes real in my life is so that God can dwell inside of me. So that God himself can live here happily. That he's not living and having to walk around, you know, evil and demonic things that I'm hanging on to or clinging to. No, he wants the house cleared out, torn down, that he can come in and be the builder, that he can come in and be the one to make us holy because he's holy. So, boy, you could just read and read Ephesians, couldn't you? It's so awesome. So I want you to see this about authority, that there is authority. We saw in Ephesians 2:2, there is demonic authority. There's the enemy's doing things. He has real power to do things. If you look at the book of Revelations, you're going to see in the last days, the enemy's given all kinds of authority to overcome even the saints at different places. And some people think that's pre-raptured, or the saints were still here after rapture or whatever. I'm not going to get into any of that. But I will say, you know, God, even when the enemy has authority, God has allowed him that authority. Why? Why would God allow the enemy to have authority after he was defeated? I believe it's because the Lord wants us to desire to be like him. The Lord wants us to want our flesh dead. And when the enemy with his authority attacks, it causes us, if we get, you know, good doctrine, it causes us, if we have good understanding, to run to God and say, Lord, why is it that the enemy has authority in my life right now? I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Why is he doing this? And then the Holy Spirit will take that opportunity to show you, because you're still living according to the flesh in this area, because you still have lies here, because you're still living under the authority of darkness here. And that is why this attack is happening. But if you would just take that thing to the cross, if you would get free from that, then you could rise up in your position as being seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, and you would have all authority over the enemy. He would have no authority over you. So I really do believe that the Holy Spirit is working in us and sanctifying us and making us holy, but we have to agree to that work. And I think part of helping us get into agreement is to see the authority that Satan still has in our lives and how it brings destruction and pain and hurt so that we can hate it. We need to hate evil. We need to hate evil. And so I do believe that Satan was allowed to stay so that we could make that choice to love righteousness and to hate wickedness. And with our flesh still in such full operation, many of us would have just held on to our wickedness. thinking, well, when I die, then this wickedness will go and I'll be righteous or holy, instead of recognizing, no, there is a battle for you to choose. If you want victory in this life, if you want authority in this life, if you want to live the overcoming life now. And so you have to really get in there and hate evil. You've got to get in there and let God show you evil in you. And then despise it, hate it, and get free from it. And it's so freeing. It is so freeing. And it is so awesome. And it's so freeing to know Satan has no authority in my life except where he still owns a part of me. I don't want him owning any part of me. And so these trials come, I believe, to reveal to us Satan's ownership so that we can say, sold, sold to Jesus. You know, no trespassing. Get out of here. You have no authority here. But we have to make that claim. We have to make that claim. And that comes as we go into those deeper places of walking in God. All right, let's go to Colossians. Let's go to Colossians 1. Since we're looking at just authority, let's start in verse 9. Colossians 1, 9. For this cause also, from the day in which we heard, we do not cease praying on your behalf and asking that you may be filled with the full knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now look at there. As we get to this teaching on authority, both times, there is this reference to spiritual wisdom and understanding or revelation of having full knowledge of Christ. Are you getting the connection? The more I have full knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, the more I understand the cross, the more I understand God and him in me, the more I understand who I am in him, but also who he is in me, that he is inside of me, that I abide in him. He's in me, the hope of glory, but abiding in him, I'll tell you, is the glory. And as long as I get more wisdom and more understanding and more revelation, I'm going to get freer and freer from the authority of the enemy. It goes, he says, so there is a prayer in the heart of a true apostle. There's a prayer in the heart of a true apostle to pray that people will know who they are in Christ, to pray that people will be filled with full knowledge of his will and wisdom and spiritual understanding. You're going to begin to see who the true apostles are because one of their heartbeat's going to be that people would know who they are in Christ. Not that people would just do what they want done. Not that people would just listen to them and follow them and they be the big shots. No, the true apostolic heart is saying, if you could just have full understanding of Christ, if you would just pray, I pray for you that you know him. I pray for you that you get spiritual wisdom and revelation and understanding to go into the deep things of God. That is the heart of the true apostle. The true apostle wants to see Christ formed in the people, not people just seeing Christ in them. A true apostle, a mature apostle, is not going to want you to say, oh, look at Christ in me. Oh, look what I'm doing. Oh, look at my miracles. Oh, look, I'll do this for me. I'll do that. A true apostle is going to have this heart of Paul that Christ says, oh, that you would have spiritual eyes. Oh, that you would get the full revelation of Jesus. If you would just know who he is, if you would understand his kingdom, if you would understand what he's done for you, if you would get the revelation he lives in you and you have all authority in the heavenlies because you're his body. It says the prayer that you made. This, you know, these are good prayers to write down and pray over yourself and pray over your children and pray over your spouse. Pray over your pastor that they may be filled with the full knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding for you to walk worthy of the Lord to all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the full knowledge of God. So as I get full knowledge of Christ, I'm going to begin to get more full knowledge of God. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the revelation of who God really is. Being empowered with all power according to the might of his glory, to all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has made us fit for a share of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us out of the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his Son, and to the kingdom of the Son of his love. Folks, we have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness. We have been taken away from the authority of Satan. Satan should have no authority in our lives. And he only does because of the lust of the flesh. He only does because of lack of belief and truth and understanding. And it's easy to say these things. But you can only get these revelations by the Holy Spirit. You can only get these revelations by crying out for spirit, a spirit of wisdom, of understanding, of knowledge and revelation. Just really crying out for a spirit of wisdom, understanding and revelation. God, that's what I want. That is my heart. And as we get that revelation, as we understand the power that we have, as we walk worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit for his glory, growing in the knowledge of God, giving thanks to the Father, understanding we have the share in the inheritance of the saints in light, that he delivered us out of the authority of darkness, and he's translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins, who is the image. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation, for all things were created in him. The things in the heaven, the things on the earth, the visible, the invisible, whether they're thrones, lordships, rulers, authorities, all things have been created through Christ and for him. He is the all in all, folks. He is the all in all. And you can't try to belittle who he is. There's teaching to make it sound like he and we are all the same. Jesus Christ is God. He's always been, he'll always be. He'll always be God. I'm so thankful for that. I am so thankful that God wants me to live in him and that he would live in me, that he wants to be one with me. It's so amazing. I want to yield myself to his lordship. I want to yield myself to his authority. I want to yield myself to him. I'm totally, totally content to yield to him and obey him and trust him. Trust him with how to fight the warfare. Trust him with how to have provision. Trust him with what to do and how to do it and where to do it. Just a total yielding to God. And just go for the ride of a lifetime. It goes on. So you have to have this understanding of who Christ is. Verse 17, he is before all things and all things have subsisted in him. He is the head of the body. Now we're the body. He is the head. He has headships. He is the brains. He is the mouth. He is the nose. He is where you don't have a head. You don't live for a second without a head. The body can do without a finger. The body can do without a hand. The body can do without an arm. The body can do without everything. It really has to have a heart, some of the major organs, and a head. It says, and he is the head of the body, the assembly, who is the beginning, the firstborn out of the dead, and he is preeminent in all things, because all the fullness was pleased to dwell in him. He is the first one who has come out of the dead in a glorified body. He is the first one who's been completely, completely brought forth from the grave. Why? Because he had no sin. God brought him out of the grave. All the fullness was pleased to dwell in him. And through him, making peace by the blood of his cross, to reconcile all things to himself through him, whether the things on the earth or the things in the heavens, and you being alienated and hostile in your mind by evil works, but now reconciled. So our being away from God, our being hostile from God, our being in darkness, and Satan have authority, has to do with the evil thoughts in our mind. It has to do with the choices we make. It has to do with the things we think. It has to do with what we're believing. It's what we're believing that produces the evil. It's what we're thinking that causes the evil. It's where Satan gets in and has authority. It's where Satan gets in and has authority. And God wants us to change our thinking. He wants us to have the mind of Christ. He wants us to hate evil works and be reconciled. It says to be reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and without blemish and irreproachable before him. If indeed you continue in the faith. Now here's the key. People say, oh, well, you know what? I'm the righteousness of Christ and I'm automatically holy. Well, that's not true according to the word of God. According to the word of God, he works out the evil in your thinking. He works out the evil in your heart. That's what he does as you yield to him. What are you yielding? You're yielding yourself to him that he can destroy the evil in your thinking, in the way you think, in the doctrine you've bought into. because he's going to present us holy and without blemish before him. If we continue in the faith, grounded and settled and not being moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard proclaimed in all the creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings on your behalf and fill up in my flesh the things lacking of the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the assembly, of which I became a minister according to the ministration of God given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery having been hidden from the ages and from the generations, but now was revealed to his saints, to whom God willed to make known, which are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery of the gospel, the awesome mystery that the Old Testament folks didn't really get, that Satan didn't even understand with all of his watching what's going on. The mystery is that God himself is going to live in this people. Christ himself is going to be in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory, whom we announce, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man full grown in Christ Jesus, for which I labor, struggling according to the working of him who works in me in power. The whole idea of the fivefold ministry, the whole idea of the apostles, is to see Christ formed in the people, to get the people free from evil, to get the people free from the works of darkness. It's possible now. Before the cross, it wasn't possible. Before sin was taken to the cross, it wasn't possible to be without evil. But now it's a work of the Holy Spirit to pull these things out, and we have to be in agreement with him. And then they're gone. They really are gone. We're really changed into his likeness, into his image. Jesus made the way for that. Jesus is waiting for the bride to do that. He's waiting for the bride to be ready. He's waiting for the bride to get the revelation that the Holy Spirit wants to deal in her heart to separate her from evil, separate her from darkness, and separate her from the enemy's authority. And the trials that come help us know how much authority Satan still has. It reveals the fear we're still in. It reveals the bondage, the wrong thinking. And so we should count it all joy, our various trials, according to the Bible, because we're going to learn how to get free. We're going to learn what to let go of. We're going to go deeper in God, and we're going to learn to rise up and take the authority that we have in Christ, the authority to obey God, the authority to speak his word, the authority to command the enemy to bow his knee and know that you know he's going to bow his knee.